This is Robert Dillon, the host of the Help Me Understand podcast. Thanks for taking some time to be a part of this project. Listening for ideas and inspiration in a world that continues to be filled with noise is at the heart of this podcast. I'm excited to share my journey to understand in deeper ways by listening to the passionate ideas of educators, thinkers, and entrepreneurs. Help Me Understand is a small opportunity to be hopeful and experience the best parts of humanity. This episode features Andy Marcinek. Andy has been an innovator in how technology supports the classroom for many years. His ideas push my thinking, and my favorite part about Andy is that he makes me laugh. Our friendship comes through in this conversation as we talk about serving families during a pandemic, the role that sports can play to heal and connect our society, and where we hope to see teaching and learning head as we move into new school years and beyond. I hope that you enjoy this conversation with Andy Marcinek. Andy, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Bob. How you doing?
Good, good. Glad to have you. And I know right before we jumped on the air, we were talking a little bit about how the lack of sports has impacted a lot of people. How's that going for you?
Yeah, I kind of reached the threshold on watching vintage games and old sports. It's kind of to the point where you really miss sports. And I think I've been listening to a podcast that I've been listening to and watching forever called The Sports Reporters, and they make a good point on there and say, you know, with the idea that, you know, at times sports can be a distraction. It can be an outlet for a lot of people. It can be a sign of hope to better things to come. And, you know, we don't even have that. I mean, I imagine you recall the 2001 World Series and how emotional that was, and how it, you know, sports didn't solve it. It didn't, you know, but it helped, I think, people cope and get through. We don't have that.
Yeah. I was on the back deck the other day and, you know, in a good place and mowed the grass. And I was thinking, man, what would be great right now is a Cardinal baseball game on the radio. And so there's a lot of teams, though, that, you know, are kind of thinking, man, at least we're not 15 games out of first place already.
Yeah. I mean, as a Philadelphia sports fan, I mean, if this is the best spring season we've had in a long time. You know, no losses. So there's still hope for all the teams. So
yeah, I think we've got 6 months of a whole new thing. I just heard the NHL talking today about pod cities. Like, yep, they're talking about bringing 8 or 10 teams to one city and having kind of round robin finishes to the season. And I don't know. I think we're going to see some creativity come out of this around sports.
And it's already starting to happen. And I mean, I think the logistics of sports is so fascinating. I think about all the future case studies that are going to be done on management and leadership and business, and just like how we had to kind of pretty much pivot our entire society into a new phase that no one really had planned for, and really kind of really thought through, I think, in great detail what was going to be next. I think a lot of us are focused on like, wow, what's this year going to be like and when we're going to get back. But I started thinking like, what's 2022 going to be like?
Yeah.
For the economy, yeah. Or for everybody, you know?
Yeah. And I just think like, we can order things and we can have things delivered and we can have less being in stores. I think some of that's going to hold for a period of time. And I think that things like, you know, like telemedicine, man, I'm so ready to not ever have to sit in a doctor's office again. Right. Yeah. Like I'll just get on the thing and have a conversation. So I think that some things will stick. What do you think will stick?
Well, yeah, I'm with you on the doctor's office. I mean, the magazines have gone downhill in the last like 5 years. Anything good to read, and who wants to pick up a dirty, filthy magazine in a doctor's office anymore anyway? So, I don't know what's gonna stick. That's a really interesting question. I think it'll be ebbs and flows of things. I think we'll see some senses, some things that look familiar. It's interesting. You know, I consider myself very lucky, you know, in this pandemic that I'm still employed and I'm still working from home. you know, I'm still getting paid, and it's a real blessing. And no one in my immediate family has gotten sick, or anybody around me is struggling really. And so that's a very lucky place to be. And so there's the sense of like, well, school looks different. It still is going to, it's gonna persevere. It's gonna go on. And I think it'll look a little unfamiliar to us, but I think as we've made this shift very quickly, I think it's going to start to look familiar to a lot of folks, both on the teaching and learning side of things. You know, I think, you know, sometimes I, on a weekend, on a Saturday or Sunday, which again is just another day that ends in Y. so, you know, you go out and I've been trying to, as you know, I was slated to do the Boston Marathon, my second Boston, April 20th. And, you know, I've been trying to keep running, and we're scheduled to run again on September 14th. And hopefully that can stick and happen. But I mean, you know, some of the things that look familiar still is, you know, you still see people out running, you still see people, going for walks, you still see people in the dog park, and, you know, they're not congregating really close to each other. It's a little different. But I mean, those are some of the time of things that seem familiar. And, you know, it's springtime in New England. So, I mean, you still start to see, you know, everything blossoming and coming back. So, I mean, the idea of hope springs eternal.
I made the joke the other day, Andy, and I said, I didn't realize this many people lived in my neighborhood, right? Like, cause there's just so many people outside, which is great. The weather's been fantastic here in St. Louis. And, I've got to notice every day of spring, and I don't know how many years it's been since, honestly, I watched my tree go from no leaves to bud to the flowers to green, and I've got to pay attention to that. And you're right, blessing, privilege, you know, all of those things to be able to do those things. But I don't know. I think people are appreciating their surroundings a little bit more, whether it's the house they have or the neighborhood they have, and that gives me some hope as well.
Yeah, you're right. That's a great point. And yeah, I look around and on any given day, if I have to go out for something and you see all these people, it's like, well, normally they'd be at work or they'd be in an office and they're just out walking around, maybe taking a lunch break or taking a walk. So, you know, I think it's good to see people. And like I like you said, I think it's also, you know, nice to appreciate some of the little things and, you know, watching trees blossom and watching the lilacs bud. I mean, it's, you know, you something that just passes by usually, and now you're kind of a little more hyper focused on some of those little things and little victories. So
yeah, I know that, you know, none of our schools were ready for this urgency to happen right now, but right. We're probably seeing some things that are hopeful, right? Like I know our teachers are doing some things that I'm just really proud of, and maybe you're seeing that a little bit. And why don't you dive in a little bit about what you're seeing on your end? Both for students and teachers, and you know, for the listeners that don't know what you do, why don't you give them that as well?
Yeah, so I'm the chief digital officer at Buckingham Brown and Nichols School. So we're an independent school, right in Cambridge, I should say. We're right next to Harvard and right outside of Harvard Square. So we are a B through 12. We have about 1,300 students and about 280 faculty and staff at our school. And I think, you know, one of the things that my boss, our leader, Dr. Jen Price, who's in her second year as being head of school there, and probably didn't anticipate this when she was interviewing a couple of years ago, is like, how would you react in a pandemic? And she's done a really great job and really kind of bringing the community together. And I think one of the things we've noticed early on from that first week when we launched our remote learning plan was the strength of the community to come together to really just help everyone. I mean, you know, the first few weeks we weren't worried about what kind of apps kids were using or what kind of resources they had. We were focused on like, are they going to be able to eat? Are they going to be good? Are they going to be able to access all the normal things in life that can help a kid get through a school day, like food and water and nutrition and exercise? Is that going to be available? So we really took a human-centered approach to this and really kind of focused on the people in our community and then built out from that. And, you know, we've done it in kind of incremental phases of almost 2-week periods, and then kind of like pause and reflect on what just happened. And so it's, you know, and that's been our MO since the day one. We're not going to just flood. We're not going to try and recreate the school day. As you know, that's just a recipe for disaster. And, you know, we try to make sure we built in breaks and redesign our schedule. And so it's, we've gotten overwhelmingly good feedback from our parent community, from our student community, from our faculty community, on our approach to this. And I'm just really proud of my team. I mean, we're shipping devices. My guest bedroom in my house looks like an Amazon warehouse, because I'm shipping stuff out and making sure kids have Chromebooks that they need them, chargers, you know, keyboards. Some people have some faculty lost like access there. I got an email last week said my A key doesn't work and I can't log into my computer. So, you know, how do you fix someone's, you know, keyboard, remotely? It's kind of hard. So, it's been very busy, but I think it's been a great success for the support and the learning that we've been able to, you know, lift up in the, you know, only a couple weeks.
Yeah, you know, I've been reading lately that, you know, there's a lot of doomsday about like, well, kids that went through this are going to lose so much learning that they'll never catch up, and that, you know, they'll never be where they could have been, and six months of loss, a year of loss, double the summer slide, all of this kind of, and I wonder if there's going to be a group of kids that test out higher after this, right? And then, oh my goodness, if that's the reality, we got a lot of thinking to do, right? And so if these doomsday like results don't come out, then maybe some of this worked. Maybe some of what we were doing before was actually hurting. I'm thinking about those numbers and how that's going to look when they take a first kind of formative assessment, or however we're going to assess that.
Yeah. I think it's really going to shift the way in which we think about teaching and learning, not only remotely, but also in the classroom. I think it's going to change and push a lot of folks' thinking. Like you mentioned earlier, the level of creativity that has just kind of organically percolated to the top has been fun to watch. I mean, it's just been exciting to see what people are doing, you know, and how, like our, like even just our theater group is trying to do a performance all through Zoom. Like their spring play was obviously canceled, but they reached out and they said, can we use the webinar, you know, feature to put on a show? And I said, yeah. And you know, we have some of our senior, our AP art students who are doing, you know, virtual presentations and demonstrations and they're inviting parents in through a webinar. So it's really, I think the level of creativity, and it's that level of the human and the American spirit that has always been, I think, at our core, is the idea of, like, you know, when we're faced with adversity or we're faced with really hard, you know, we hear about the greatest generation all the time, right? You hear about how, you know, everyone just kind of jumped right in, and, you know, you had car manufacturers making, you know, equipment and getting everybody ready. And everybody kind of pitched in. I kind of think that's, you see that happening on a very local level here, in communities, really kind of binding together and saying, you know what, we can't wait around for, you know, right or wrong messaging coming from the very top. We need to figure this out, and we're going to move forward with the best we have. And you're really seeing that true American spirit and that true creativity and creativity really kind of come to the top.
Yeah. And, you know, before you mentioned taking care of basic needs, we just went over the 62,000 meal mark. And, you know, my school district, about 80% of our kids impacted by poverty. That's just a huge number. And I read the other day that LA Unified has now spent $40 million on food. I hope that as we get down the road here, that we don't let go of the stark class impact of this, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, I was listening to something today where, you know, it is very stark who has access to things and who doesn't. And I hope that we can continue to shine a bright light on that going forward, because as, you know, awesomely human as we are in the American spirit, it can't be temporary. I think we've got to ask for ourselves to be better than we have been.
Yeah, no, I think you nailed it. I mean, it's really showing and exposing the gross inequities of our economy and of our schools and what kids have. I mean, you know, our students, majority of our students are very lucky, you know, to have what they have. And but, you know, to hear how, you know, 62,000 meals, that's amazing. That's great. But we also shouldn't, as the richest country in the world, we shouldn't be in that place to begin with. You know,
yeah.
So I think you nailed it, and I hope we can all kind of reflect on this down the road and figure out a better way for to kind of close that gap.
Yeah,
this will be the last time something like this comes around.
Yeah. So how are you filling your time? I assume you're reading a little bit, you're watching a little bit, you're listening a little bit. What's all in that space right now for you?
Mostly video games. I'm trying to. to beat Super Mario Brothers. I haven't been able to beat it since 1986. And so I'm still struggling on level 4. But once I get over that, there's been a lot of reading, a lot of great books. I'm a little bit of a political junkie, and being that we're in an election year, I've been reading some political books.
Anything good that I should know about?
I just recently read Andrew Yang's book, and it was called the War Against Normal People or something like that. It was pretty fascinating, and I think I really enjoy his thinking and his thought process. Not the best political candidate in the race, but I think he's got a lot of great ideas. And you know, even thinking about what you just said about the economy is you know, one of his idea of giving everyone I think that was like the universal income.
Basic income, yeah.
And, you know, it's kind of what we've been chugging out of Congress for the past couple months now, where it's like everyone's getting a stimulus check. And, you know, why does it take a pandemic to kind of force the hand of that? So, you know, reread a book called White Fragility, by I forgot her first name. D'Angelo's it'll come to me. But that's
Is it Beverly?
I think it's no. I think
Beverly D'Angelo was in Vacation, I believe. Yeah. So yeah, that just happened.
That came to my that came to my head.
Yeah, I do know the book you're talking about, though, and you know, I've had a lot of people give me good reviews of that book, and if you've gone back through it a second time, I guess it's worth a look.
Robin D'Angelo, yeah. And then just kind of like keeping up with the news. I've been trying to run every other day. I mean, you and I are both runners, so like, you know, try and keep running as much as possible. I've been really trying to, a lot of folks have been talking about, you know, well, what do you watch on Netflix? I'm trying to limit Netflix and TV and screen time, because honestly, like, you get through the day with how many different calls you have and through a Zoom call, and it's like, it can be exhausting. So
yeah.
Trying to limit my own screen time, because it's starting to really be exhausting.
Yeah. But the get outside, the hike thing has been really good for me. I've been finding kind of some off the way, you know, here in St. Louis, a little bit easier, right? Like I can get 20 minutes outside of town and be kind of pretty rural. So I've been able to get out, but man, I need that green time to balance all the screen time for sure.
Yeah.
Let's circle all the way back. Talk a little bit more about sports as it goes here. If you could, where do you think the fall looks like for sports as it goes? Do you think we'll be sitting in a stadium in 2020?
No. I don't think anyone will be going to a stadium in this year, just as much as I don't think anybody's going to a movie theater and potentially not a school. I think that's a reality. It's not, you know, a given yet, but I mean, if two top doctors are talking about this coming back in the fall and potentially being worse, what is that? I mean, you think, I don't think that's going to happen. I think the sports that have it the easiest, you know, are golf, tennis. I think those sports, even NASCAR, I mean, those sports can happen without, you know, having large stadiums. And there's not a lot of congregation. I mean, tennis, you could have it set up where there's, you know, two people, there's two people, there's a judge, there's a couple other operators. And you know, I'm not sure at most, but I mean, same with golf, like you don't need a lot of personnel, if there's no fans to really make those two events type and work. I'm really curious to see. I think like the NHL is really trying to move forward and think they can do it without fans. You know, I think they talked about what, like having different cities, like just pod cities, like you said. And so I think that's interesting. MLB is tough. There's a lot more players. NFL, I don't know how that's going to work. I mean, the thing about all these sports is they all, it's not like they can just pick up. It doesn't really connect with that way with sports, because you think about spring training and training camp and all these things that need to happen for conditioning, and that's just not going to be a reality for a lot of teams.
Yeah, and so a lot of unknown there, and I know that sports seems like a secondary thing, but it certainly gives us something to talk about. And I don't know, I think that there is some experimentation and creativity there that can extend across of what's going on. So final question for you. As you kind of look out over the next 6 to 12 to 18 months, what are you most hopeful about? I think that, you know, it could be something small, but what kind of you holding on to that you're looking forward to, you think will happen, and maybe bring out the best of that human spirit you were talking about?
I'm hopeful we're going to get through this. I think we've been met with challenges throughout our history within my lifetime. You know, within your lifetime, we've been met with challenges. And I think the one thing Americans don't deal with well is inconvenience. And I think we are all inconvenienced right now. And I think we're going to push and do what it takes to make sure we don't have to deal with this. And if that means staying home and not going out to restaurants and not seeing our sports teams play for 2020, if 2020 is the lost year, so be it. Let's get through it. Let's say Happy New Year and let's move on to next year. I mean, I'm very hopeful that this is all going to come. We're going to get through this. I hope that people see where we're lacking and where we need to get better. And like you mentioned earlier, I hope people really do that. The folks in leadership and our highest level in government see that there are some, this has exposed gross inequities in healthcare and the economy and schools, who can eat and who can't. We need to do better there. And I hope that can be the one big thing that comes out of this, that we can get better. I'm definitely hopeful. I feel very lucky and privileged to be hopeful, but, I think we're going to do it. I think we'll be fine.
I think so too. So Andy, I appreciate your time, and hang in there, and we'll all together make it through this, and we'll check back in with you on the other side of things here. And, think about some new ideas and some things we can be doing in schools after we get out the other side of this.
That sounds great, Bob. Take care, and all the best to you and your family and everyone near you.
Thanks for listening to the Help Me Understand podcast. For more about my work, you can head over to drrobertdillon.com or follow me on Twitter, Facebook, or LinkedIn. Don't forget to rate this podcast, as it helps alert others to the great conversations and ideas happening in this space. Until next time, this is Dr. Robert Dillon reminding you that an intentional life is filled with awe, curiosity, and joy.
We'll be right back.